We want to look at this month what we have tagged gospel truths. Gospel truths. Psalm 119 and verse 8. Psalm 119 and verse 8. This morning on that gospel truth, I will focus on the title, God is Good. Can somebody say God? Say it loud and say God is good. What about saying it like this? Say God is good to me. Oh, I mean me that I'm talking to you right here in front. Say God is good to him. Oh, you guys don't. You need to pass this level to go to the next level. Say God is good to him. Okay, I'll leave it to you. Psalm 119 and verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. You are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. Sometime this week, I think God told me something that, you know, it got me thinking a lot. And it was, anyone who wastes time will waste anything. Anybody who wastes time will waste anything. In fact, anybody who wastes time is actually wasting life. Because time is life. Time is what denominates life. If life were money, if life were to be represented in a currency, it would be time. Time is life. Time is money. If anything steals your time, it has stolen part of your life. If anything steals your time, it has stolen even much more than money. It has stolen the future from you. And if you know anything about the devil, it can be very strategic. Many of the times, the distractions people see, they don't know that the target is not even that distraction. The devil has another target. The devil has in mind something bigger. So that distraction is to be able to steal your time so that something bigger, which you are not paying attention to, it will take it. Like somebody once said, he said, what is happening is usually different for what is going on. What is happening is usually different for what is going on. So time is important. So that's why you and I need not to waste time. Now let me say this to you this morning. You waste time when you worry. You waste time when you worry. Worry is a waste of time. Worry does nothing. Worry is a waste of resources and energy. Worry is putting your mind, putting your thought, putting your hopes and aspiration in false evidence appearing real. That's why Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. He says, take no thought. That means don't worry. Jesus was saying, do not worry. There is no point worrying. In fact, in that Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was saying that, have you found anybody that did anything with worry? Have you found anybody that was worried about their height, and because they were worried about their height, they were able to get taller because of worry? Have you found somebody that was worried about their children, and because of their worry, they were able to help that child? No. And some people, they will say, well, it's not that I'm worried, I'm just concerned. It's not that I'm worried, I'm just bothered. I'm just facing reality. But you see, sometimes that reality is that you are worried. Some people will say, well, don't you know that there is evil in this world? It's not news. Believe me, it is not news that there is evil. In John chapter 16, verse 33, just before Jesus left, Jesus told the disciples, he said, look, in this world you will have tribulation. If Jesus said in this world you will have tribulation about 2,000 years ago, what do you think will be happening now? So seeing evil, seeing problem, seeing things is not a big deal. It's not news. Jesus said there will be trouble. He said in this world there will be trouble. In fact, let me tell you the truth. The normal is trouble. It's like the abnormal that there's absence of trouble. It's not the presence of trouble that is the problem. It is when you know who is with you in trouble. That's why Jesus said, don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Because I have overcome the world. So don't be worried. I want you to tell yourself, say, this month, I refuse to worry. Do you know that worry is also a dimension of pride? Worry is a dimension of pride. If I'm here standing this morning, I can be thinking so much about what will happen tomorrow on Tuesday in terms of food, in terms of clothing for my children. But do you know that my children will not be wondering that, what clothes will I wear tomorrow? Why? They know that that is going to take care of that. If we know that God is going to take care of that, then we release it to Him. Then we live like children. Of course that we are not careless. Of course we are not irresponsible. But we understand that the ultimate responsibility for our lives belongs to God. So that's why we should not worry. That's why the Bible also speaks in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, be anxious for nothing. If there is a bill coming forth, be anxious for nothing. If there is something that they have told you that is going to come against you in terms of report, medical report, be anxious for nothing. Pastor, do you understand what they told me? The government says something. Be anxious for nothing. So several people have come to me over the years. Somebody will say, I got this news from this lawyer and all of that. I say, it's not God. Be anxious for nothing. In fact, one of the things you can do to the devil to get him mad, to make him angry, is that when he throws you something, you do as if you didn't even see it. You don't let him make you lose your calm, lose your peace. Remember the other time when Jesus was sleeping in the storm, in the boat? That is the posture all of us need to maintain. We need to maintain the attitude of rest even when things are chaotic. Because when you put it in His hands, you can go to bed. Two of you can be concerned about the same thing. It can be watching over you. It can be caring over you. It can be affectionately thinking about you. And you are doing the same thing. Then one of you is not needed. It's duplication of function. So when Jesus is caring for you, when Jesus is mindful of you, you have to now release yourself to Him. So if waste of time is wasting anything or is wasting of life, then worry is a waste of time. When you waste time when you worry, you also waste time when you complain. Some people complain about everything. The gas is up. The gas is this. The gas is that. The government is this. The coronavirus is this. There is always something to complain about. There is something that they just find displeasure and it's always commentary. The truth of the matter is that there will be wrong things. The truth of the matter is that there will be things that are not necessarily in the way you want them to be. But your attitude should not be complaint. Your attitude should be prayer. Many things that we complain about, they are prayer points. There are opportunities for us to present cases before God. There are opportunities for us to go before God in prayer and say, God, according to your word, do your word. But even some of us will join them. We engage in political argument and political discussion. There is nothing bad in itself about having opinions about what is going on in town. But when that opinion now becomes complaint and becomes murmuring, you are wasting time. And you are not just wasting time, you are wasting life. Because anybody that complains, anybody that maintains an attitude of complaint, that is chief complainer in chief or complainer in chief, that person is wasting time. The Bible speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10. It says, do not murmur or do not complain, as some also murmured. And he said their complaint was what destroyed them. Do you know that many of the times, one of the things that people use to undo prayers is complaints. They have come before God. They have declared the things that they want from God. And God has heard them. And the work is in motion. Then they go outside there. They start to complain. Because you know, immediately you show up in the presence of God. You make some transaction in the presence of God. The next thing the devil wants to do is to undo that transaction. He wants to sow something there. He wants to put in something. And some of us cooperate with him, hook, line, and sinker. We just do everything he wants us to do. We complain, not again, my headache is back. Not again, my car is bad again. Not again this, not again that. And you go back into that spiral flow again. So complaining is wasting time. You waste time also when you are ungrateful. Anyone who wastes time will waste anything. You waste time when you worry. You waste time when you complain. You waste time when you are ungrateful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible said, in the latter days, many shall blaspheme, they shall be covetous, they shall be proud, they shall be unholy, and all of that kind of thing. Then he now put in there, they shall be unthankful. One of the characteristics of the end time is that people will be very ungrateful. Some people have said some generations, I won't mention the exact generation, you know, you have the millennials, you have the Gen Z, that they feel entitled. They are an entitled generation. So when even things are done for them, they don't want to say thank you. They just think, why should you not have done it? And if it was only to human beings that these people had this kind of attitude, or many people have this kind of attitude, maybe it would have been okay. But they also have it to God. Ungrateful. They are always half full cup kind of person. They are always seeing what is not yet done. As we have come here this morning and say we want to thank God, they are asking and saying, why this has not happened? Why that has not happened? They are saying, yes, I'm alive, but I don't have a job. Yes, this has happened, but there is always a but to their good news. Ungrateful. And the Bible is making us understand this morning that if you are an ungrateful person, you are wasting time. Because time was not meant to use in that way. And if you use it in that way, not only are you wasting time, you are also wasting your life. Let's look at this scripture, Psalm 107, verse 31. Psalm 107, verse 31. The Bible says, oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. It's almost like the psalmist was alarmed, disturbed, marooned, flabbergasted, worried, or concerned, so to say, that men were not praising the Lord, or their praising God was not enough. And I've also come to say this morning, you can do better with your praise. You can do better with your gratitude. You can do better than showing appreciation to God. You see, the breath of God is a gift. Your appreciation back to God of how you use that breath, especially when you make praises to Him, is a reason why you should keep that breath going. Because breath is a gift. We don't wake up because we decided to wake up. We don't wake up because we had an alarm clock. We don't wake up because it is the next thing to do when the morning dawns. No, we wake up because of His breath in our lungs. And if that breath ceases, you will not be here again. And that's why it is always a good thing to be grateful. So remember, you waste time when you worry. You waste time when you complain. You waste time when you are ungrateful. And you need to be grateful, if not for anything. You need to be grateful because God is good. God does good, but beyond doing good, God is good. You know, it's one thing for me to do something. It's another thing for me to be something. To be is greater than to do. Anybody that is first will eventually do. So if being is greater than doing, so if I understand that God is by definition and essence good, then it's a matter of time I will see good. So if there is any reason why you should be ungrateful, it is because God is good. That is the first gospel truth that you should know. Because gospel simply means good news. And we're trying to look at some good news that resurrection brought. But you see, it is on the foundation that God is good. The reason for Easter, the reason Jesus came, the reason we talk about any resurrection is predicated on the fact that God is good. because man had messed up, but God, because of his good nature, went after man. And so, ladies and gentlemen, every day you are alive, every day you have breath in your nostril, you need to understand that you should be grateful, at least for one reason: God is good. We read from Psalm 119 verse 8, Psalm 119 verse 8, that you are good and do good. In James chapter 1 verse 17, James chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift coming from above. That means from God, it's always good. In Psalm 34 verse 8, Psalm 34 verse 8, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray for somebody this morning that in the name of Jesus, in this month of April, indeed you will experience the goodness of the Lord in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 84 verse 11, the Bible speaking there, the Bible says, God is his sun and his shield. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. Why? Because God is good. I like that song by the songwriter that says, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. His light will shine. God is good. He's so good all the time. I think I'm one of that choir member that forgets one of their lines. I have sang two songs to sometimes together. It's when I get to my black. That was two songs. You started with one part and ended with another song. But God is good. Amen. There was a time Moses asked God. He said, I want to see you. God said, you don't know what you're asking for. Thank God that some prayers, God will revise it and answer it in a way that works for us. God said, you don't know what you're asking for. He said, but I can give you a hint of me. I will show you a dimension of me that will suffice and will be enough for you. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 33 and 19, and the Lord said, I will cause my goodness. So God was saying, if you see my goodness, if you understand my goodness, you have understood my person. If you relate with my goodness, it's enough. If you relate with me on the premise of I am good, that is enough. That can make you stand before Pharaoh. That can make you stand before the interviewer. That can make you stand before the judge. That can make you stand before the examiner. That can make you do anything. Just the revelation of my goodness. And I'm praying that this morning, that revelation will dawn on somebody in the name of Jesus. Let me add this to it, and then we're going to get ready to dance. Today is a Thanksgiving Sunday, and we should have some opportunity to dance. What can knowing God is good do to me? What can knowing God is good or remembering that God is good do to me? It will help me know that God is not against me. I mean, that, as simple as that may sound, you'll be surprised that many people sometimes feel God is against them. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31 to 32. Romans chapter 8, 31 to 32. The Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It goes further to say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you understand that God is good, you will also understand, or it will also be clear to you, that God is for you, that God is not against you. Because you see, you need to understand in this life that there are votes that need to be cast for a destiny to happen, for a destiny to succeed. And the two most important votes is God's vote and your vote. And let me tell you the truth. He already cast his vote in your favor. How do I know he did that? Jesus coming to die for you was God saying, I am for you. Was God saying, I will stand with you. Was God saying, I will fight for you. Was God saying, I want you. So I want you to understand this month. I want you to understand this morning that God is good, is telling you that God is not against you. Can somebody say, God is not against me? Say, God is not against me. What will knowing that God is good do for you? It will help you know that God can use bad for your good. God, if he is good, if he is for me, what will he do for me? He can use bad. He can use what the devil meant for evil. Just like Joseph spoke in Genesis chapter 50. He said, you meant it for evil. He said, but God turned it to good. Can I prophesy to three people this morning that what the devil meant for evil over your academics, what the devil meant for evil in your career, God will turn it for good in the name of Jesus. It will help you know that God can use the bad things, the ugly things. God masters in using them. He's the potter. He can remold the clay. When there is a bend, he can still work with it. When there is a contour, he can still work with it. When there is an error, he can still work with it. He's the manufacturer, so he can fix things. He can work with the bad. Some of you feel like, I've had a bad life. I've had a bad past. I have done this, I've done that. Welcome. You have come to the right place. He can take someone who nobody can take and he can make something out of that person. It's never too late to say, Lord, I want you. Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I willingly yield myself to you, because he can take the bad and bring out good from it. Many of the times, some of us cannot see how good can come out from some bad things. But I can tell you something. If you give it to him, if you give it to God, he can do something with it. He can do something with it. I've heard stories of many, many people. I can also testify of my own personal life of when God can take you from nonsense, from dirt, from stinking, and he can take you and you will not look like where you came from. You will not be smelling of the smoke again. God will so transform you that even when some people see you, it will be hard to reconcile now with them. I'm prophesying to somebody. Somebody will see you shortly and they will say, am I dreaming? Is this really you? Because they will not be able to reconcile what God would have done by the time they see you, in the name of Jesus. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Bible says, all things, not some things, not most things, but all things. It says we know this. We have to know this. The goodness of God has a message that it's telling us. And that message is a message for us to know that, and we know that all things work together. Can losing my job work together? I bet you it can. Can somebody jilting me work together? I can tell you it can. Can I losing a job work together? I can tell you it can. Can I not passing that exam? Can it work together? I can tell you it can. Because everybody has gone ahead of me and it seems that I am the last among my mates. People have gotten married. Can he use it? I bet he can. So this morning, God is telling me to tell somebody, I can use that bad. I can use that ugly. I can take it. Give it to me. Give it to me. If you look through scriptures, especially the gospels, you will see many times when people will give Jesus something and what they get from it will be bigger than what they gave him. Men gave him boats. He gave them fish. Men gave him lunch. He fed several people. Somebody gave him a womb. And he produced the savior of the world. I'm telling you, you can give something to this good God and he can bring out good from it. It doesn't matter the level at which you gave him. He can give it another body. There are sometimes some of us, you cannot see the next level. You know, some people say there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is no tunnel.
So you can't even see any light. There's nothing that can bring light. But when there was utter darkness, when there was nothing, the Bible said, Elohim said, let there be light. There was no negotiation. There was no utter conversation. The Bible said, and light was. And that same God has shone the light in our heart. And through him this morning, I declare to you, let there be light in the name of Jesus. So God is good. God is good. Will let me know. Oh, knowing God is good will help me to know that God is not against me. That God can use my bad for his good. Let me add this to it. It will also help me to know and know that evil is not from God, one, and also confront evil. God is good. Will help me understand that evil is not from God, and it will help me confront evil. When Jesus was teaching us how to pray in Matthew 6, or the model prayer, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That already tells you that he can't lead you into what he is the author of. If he's not leading you into temptation or leading you into evil, then he's not the author of evil. So when I see evil, I should know this is not God. Sometimes people ask the wrong question. Why did God allow it? It's not God. This is the devil. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. It says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does it himself tempt anyone with evil. What does that mean? When there is evil, it's the devil. And that's why the Bible says, I think this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. You can help me find that scripture. It says, herein was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the Son of God showed up so that he can say no more evil. And that's why you and I must rebel against evil. When we see evil in the society, we rebel against it. And the rebellion is not to carry placards. I mean, sometimes maybe that may be necessary, but it's to go on your knees. It's to talk to the good Father. It's to talk to the good Father. So this morning, God is letting you understand. Don't waste your time worrying. Don't waste your time complaining. Don't waste your time being ungrateful. But be grateful because God is good. His goodness assures that God is for you. His goodness assures you that bad, he can use that too. It's not all good things that work together for good. Some bad things too, he will use it and add it to work for your good. And then he should tell you that God is not in the business of evil. If you see evil, you can know the will of God permanently concerning it. God is against it. Fight it in the place of prayer. But this morning, I want us to have a particular response to the goodness of God. Because the goodness of God demands response, my friends. It's not just the knowledge of all these things that I'm talking about. We need to respond. And the response we need this morning is to proclaim his goodness. It's to declare it. It's to make it known. Is to show that God is good. Is to celebrate that goodness. Is to come with dancing. Is to come with singing. Is to come with gratitude for what he has done already. You know, because many of us are always living our life for, I will soon get there. I will get there. I will get there. But so many people don't understand that I already have something now. Do you know that the problem you have today, some people are praying, is their prayer point. God, give me that problem. Hello. I mean, there are some people that are probably are business owners. They may be thinking, I will pay salary. Some people are asking for that problem. Lord, I want to be paying people salary. Do you understand? So you are saying, ah, God, I'm going to, midweek is coming. Is it next week that is midweek now? Mid-month, excuse me. You know, I'm going to pay salary. But you know, it's a good news. It's a good thing. You can still thank God that you are an employer of labor. Even if you don't have the money that you know that you want to pay them. Some people are like, well, you know, I don't have a job. But you have qualifications that can get you a job. You have a right mind that can get you a job. That is the goodness of God. Acknowledge the goodness of God that you see around you now. Proclaim it. Make it loud. Let me tell you one way to live your life and live it to the optimum. Celebrate God from one breakthrough to another breakthrough. If God does one thing for you now, keep praising Him and praising Him and praising Him. Even if the next one is coming in 2 years' time, keep doing that. You run the devil out of business. You run him mad because he wants to be suggesting things to you to waste your time, to waste your life. But when you know how to proclaim the goodness of God every day, when you wake up, you proclaim the goodness. There are some things that are not working, but you don't focus on them. Let me tell you the truth. Anybody that you see that is having so-called a happy life, a joyful life, is because they have placed their focus in the right place. It is not lack of issues. It's not lack of problems. I met some people, they were like, Pastor, you don't understand. We do. We are just choosing not to really focus on that side. We have chosen to focus on the goodness of God. Because the more you focus on that side of God, the more of it you see. And let me tell you the truth. You see more of what you focus on. The law of attraction says that you will be attracted to some things that you have already known about. That is why when your friend buys a car, you start seeing that kind of car. That's why it happens like that. So that means that if I focus on the goodness of God, I see more of the goodness of God. If I look at the goodness of God, I will look like the goodness of God. If I tell about the goodness of God, I will have more reason to tell about it. If I dance, if I celebrate God, even when things don't look like it, I will soon come back and celebrate it in actuality. Let me tell you the truth. Many times in life, we have opportunity to rehearse before we get into the reality. Many people miss their opportunity to rehearse. Many people miss the rehearsal. You know, it was a rehearsal that Sarah first had for Isaac. She was laughing at the idea. But very soon, she was laughing with the idea. When you understand how to maximize the goodness of God, you will always live in rehearsal and manifestation. You will always be from one level of celebrating God for the goodness of God in anticipation and the goodness of God in manifestation. There are so many people waiting for the manifestation, but you are not celebrating for the goodness in anticipation. You will never see the manifestation because you have faced the rehearsal. You didn't show up for the rehearsal. But this morning, I got news for you. We're going to have some rehearsal here. And some people, it may be manifestation. You may be celebrating God for the baby that God gave you, the wife that God gave you. Amen to Jesus. Okay, I should be looking there. But some of us will be celebrating for the wife that God will give us, the husband that is surely coming. Can I get an amen to that? Because somebody has reminded me that the count for the husband and wives are still ongoing. So there's still slots, vacancy. Wanted, wanted, wanted. Amen to Jesus. But we can rehearse this morning. We can dance like it has happened. Because really, they've said that the mind sometimes cannot differentiate between reality and imagination. So you can condition your mind to begin to see the reality of that baby, of that job, of that paper coming through in the name of Jesus. So this morning, I want you to bow down your head. Speak to God. Before we get into the dancing flow. And I want you to talk to God and ask Him to forgive you. Many of us need to repent. We need to repent from worry, because really, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. We need to repent from that and ask God and say, Father, forgive me. Somebody may say, well, I want to give God my bad. I want to give my life to Jesus. I just want to surrender it to Him. Can He do something with it? You bet He can. If you raise your hands, I will know that I need to pray with you. I want to pray with you. If you want Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior, I want to pray with you this morning. If I see your hands raised, I know you want Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior. If I see your hands, I know I want to pray with you. Let the rest of us keep telling God
that, Lord, help me to focus on your goodness. Help me to remember that you are good and that you do good, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for the entrance of your word has already brought light. And let that light keep shining throughout this week in Jesus' name. Lord, in the next few minutes, we will demonstrate to you in actual terms that we are truly grateful to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say amen?